God has a goal for us. And many Christians have not understood that goal. So for those of you who don't know, or those of you who have forgotten, let me show you what the Bible says is the ultimate destination. Just like when you travel in a train, your ticket will show you where you are destined to go. And you should get on a train that's going in that direction. There are lots of trains in the railway station. But you don't get onto the most beautiful one or the color you like or a big one. You go into the train which is going to your destination. Even if it is small, not so attractive, it's going to your destination. So when you choose a church, it should be the way you choose a train. Is it going to the destination you want to go? Now today there are churches that tell you how you can become rich. Good. Those who want to become rich, join such churches. But that is not God's goal for man. God's goal is not making people rich. And the proof of that is some of the richest people in the world are not Christians. In fact, the richest people in the whole world are non-Christians. So that itself proves that that particular type of teaching is not God's goal for Christians. Because if a person is going towards God's goal, there will be no one on earth to be better than him in that area. If, for example, like some people teach, God's goal is that we should be healthy, then the healthiest people in the world should be Christians. But even the Apostle Paul had a sickness. Timothy, the finest of Paul's co-workers, had a sickness, constant stomach problems. What happened? Was it because they were not wholehearted? These are verses that teach us health is not God's goal. And Jesus was poor, Paul was poor, Peter was poor, which proves that wealth is not God's goal. Something else is God's goal, and we need to understand that clearly. And it's possible sometimes that we lose sight of that. You know, it's like if you have to change trains at different stations, again, you got to get into the right train. So let me turn you to Romans 8:29. Those who have been here many years will know this is the verse we always show in the scripture, which tells us the goal towards which God wants us to be moving. Romans 8:29. Those whom he foreknew. Now, foreknowledge is a word found in the New Testament. Foreknowledge means God knows from all eternity past who all are going to respond to his call. If you have responded to the call of Jesus Christ, God knew about it before he created the world. He knew about it before the universe was created. If you're going to be a backslider, God knew that also before the worlds were created. And where you're going to end up as a backslider or a wholehearted Christian, that also God knows from beforehand. That's foreknowledge. And those whom he foreknew, who are going to be faithful to Christ till the end, he gave them a destination. He predestined. It's very clear the meaning of that. Pre means before. Destined means destination. It's like you get a railway ticket. You're predestined to go to Bombay or Delhi. It's written on the ticket. You may have bought it 60 days earlier, but when you get into the train, you know where you're going. So it's exactly like that. We need to see here, what is God predestined for those whom he foreknew? Now, if you're not one of those whom God foreknew, you can go where you like. God has got no destination for you. But if you're one of those who responded to the call of Christ and God knew you before the worlds were created, then this is the only destination God has for you. Now, when you travel in a train, there may be many other blessings that you have while traveling and etc. You know, you can eat good food and various things. You can see sights along the way, but that's not your destination. Those are little blessings along the way. And there are little pains and difficulties in a train journey as well. And so also in the Christian life. But we must be clear about our destination. Predestined to become conformed, to be conformed to the image of his son Jesus Christ. So there we see the goal. Never forget this verse. The goal of the Christian life, as far as God is concerned, is that we might become like Jesus Christ, so that's not the end of it, because when we become like Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ will be the elder brother. Firstborn is a New Testament phrase for eldest brother. You know, if you have only one son, you don't call him firstborn. You know what, if you have only one son, you call him only begotten. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. He had only one when he came to earth. But after the resurrection, Jesus told Mary Magdalene, go and tell my brothers that I have risen. The day of his resurrection, he became the firstborn. See, that's why we have our meetings on Sunday, not on Saturday. Because Saturday, Jesus was in the grave. Sunday is called the Lord's Day because it was the beginning of a new creation when Jesus became the firstborn of many brothers. And so, you see, that's why we call each other brother. You need to understand that. I tell people, don't call me by such low-down titles like pastor or reverend or right reverend, all those useless titles. Call me by the highest title, younger brother of Jesus Christ. Can you give me a better title than that? You think reverend and right reverend and doctor reverend and left reverend and all these people, you think any of these things are better than younger brother of Jesus Christ? Not at all. That's why you're a younger sister of Jesus Christ. Don't think there's a bigger title than that. That's why I never allow anybody to call me any other than that. That is the highest title. A younger brother of Jesus Christ, the eldest brother. You need to see your position. The firstborn of many brothers and sisters, it's included. And that's how it's going to be in heaven. But today we are working towards that goal of becoming like Christ. Now, if you don't have that goal, you've got some other goal in life that God's going to make you rich or God's going to make you healthy, I don't know whether you'll end up as a younger brother of Jesus Christ. I don't know. That's none of my business how God is a judge. And may God have mercy on you. But if this is your goal, I can assure you, you're going to be a younger brother and sister of Jesus Christ for all eternity. I want to be there. I'd rather go by scripture than by all the clever things that men teach. And a lot of these false teachings come out of the Old Testament. Whenever you find a preacher quoting mostly from the Old Testament, you can be sure there's something wrong. We must see the Old Testament as being fulfilled in the New Testament. Then it's okay. And that's how I see it. I mean, we don't tell people to kill lambs today because we say the Lamb of God died on the cross, Jesus Christ. We don't tell people to tithe today because that was income tax. God blessed them and God was the head of the government in Israel. And just like we pay income tax, God said you had to pay income tax. The rich and the poor had to pay the same level, 10% everybody. But today God has become our father and no father collects income tax from his children. So if when a preacher tells you, you got to pay income tax, then God is not your father. My God is my father. He doesn't collect any income tax from me. Does that mean a child will never take care of his father's needs? Well, you tell me, you children, if your father is in need, would you do something for him? We'd give more than 10% if needed. But we give it joyfully for a father. Think of some of your fathers who sacrificed a lot to educate you, care for you. If you're grateful, Jesus said once to the Pharisees, you people are so evil that the Bible says, honor your father and mother. And you read that in Mark chapter 7, when your father is in need, you tell him, hey, I've given that money to God, I can't give it to you. He says, you have neglected, canceled out God's commandment. It's right for a child to honor his father and take care of an aged father who sacrificed so much for you. And when I think of my heavenly father, he's not in financial need. But he's done so much for me that I'd give everything for him. That is the only spirit in which we serve the Father. So this is the goal. The goal of our life is not to reach the world or to bring people to Christ. Those are all subsidiary. The main goal is that I must become like Christ. And in becoming like Christ, first of all, it's my life and my character. Remember, for 30 years, Jesus never preached or healed or cast out demons. He just lived a godly life for 33.5 years. Out of that 3.5 years, he had ministry. Now, if you do mathematics, 3.5 divided by 33.5 is 10%. So we can say 10% Jesus' life, he had what we call ministry. That's about the importance of so-called ministry. But 100% he had a life. So his ministry came out of his life. In the Old Testament, it was not like that. You did not have to have a life to have a ministry, because the Holy Spirit was upon people, not inside people. The first person within whom the Holy Spirit was Jesus. And then on the day of Pentecost and many others, till then he was upon people in the Old Testament. And when the Holy Spirit is upon people, he can equip him to do many things. Elijah and Elisha even raised the dead. It's amazing what they can do. Preach powerful sermons like John the Baptist. Many wonderful things, but the Holy Spirit is upon. But they cannot overcome sin. The Holy Spirit was upon David, but the guy went and committed adultery and killed that woman's husband and married her. Or Samson, he had mighty power with the Holy Spirit upon him, but he was living in sin. All these Old Testament examples, even Elijah, the mighty power of God came on him and he could stop the sky from raining and send the rain down and bring fire down from heaven. But when it was all over, he got so discouraged and he said, "Lord, take away my life. I'm scared. I'm scared of a woman. She might kill me." Imagine that. So you see, all the great Old Testament saints, even John the Baptist, in prison, he said, "Oh, Jesus, are you really the Messiah? I'm not so sure." Imagine John the Baptist saying that. That is the result of the Holy Spirit not being inside people. The greatest Old Testament people had doubts, fears, anxieties, because the Holy Spirit is upon them. But the ministry was fantastic. So don't be impressed today by somebody who has a wonderful ministry. Maybe the Holy Spirit is upon him. Jesus said, "In the last day, many will come to me and say, 'Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We did miracles in your name.' And I will say to them, 'I never knew you.'" I never knew you. That means I never had an intimate relationship with you. The word know is used in the Old Testament, but the husband-wife relationship, the most intimate relationship between husband and wife is called knowing. And Jesus, "I never knew you. I mean, you guys did so many things for me, but I didn't have that intimate relationship with you." And I wonder whether the Lord has to say that to some of us here. We keep on stressing in this church, you must have an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's like something, and ministry is when the whole vessel fills up and overflows. That's ministry. I want all my ministry to be like that. I don't want my ministry to be just the Holy Spirit upon me and me preaching powerful sermons or doing here and there. No, I want an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, which fills up in my heart all, every day, and overflows. That's called ministry. So remember, this is the goal.